Ari, can you believe it? The end of the NHL's regular season.
I can't believe it.
And as we both know, it's been completely opposite types of seasons for our respective teams. Of course, your team being the Toronto Maple Leafs, my team being the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
And as you know, with the end of the regular season comes exit meetings and planning sessions, and we got a little bit of a glimpse of that last episode with a incredibly intrusive eavesdropping of Lou Lamoriello and Kyle Dubas at the Lou. Well, you're not going to guess what we got now, Ari. Our little birds have been at it again, and we happen to get exclusive HVL audio footage of the impromptu meeting between Mark Bergevin and Jeff Molson. Jeff, how are you, bud?
What are you doing in my private executive owner's only bathroom?
We're all family here. No biggie.
I'm doing well. You seem awfully chipper considering the season we just had.
Jeffy, baby, lottery pick, dude. Oh, it's
Mark,
all good.
You know what? To save time, let's have our end of season meeting right now. Talk about this season.
Right. Serious face on now.
Okay, Mark. You told me we were going to be contenders for the cup. What in heaven's name went wrong this year?
First, I want to say this isn't on me. The answer to that question is in the room.
That's really not an answer. Mark, please hurry up. I don't have time for our end-of-season meeting. I have condo plans I need to approve. Lots of them.
Okay, you want to know why we stunk up the joint?
Yes.
Chronic fatigue syndrome. Boom! Done!
You're talking about Carey. Our season stunk because of one player.
That's a bingo! If we had regular Carey, we would have won more games. Carey was bad from game one. Game one, Jeffy. That's why we were so bad from game one. Think about it. That's it. Thanks, Jeff. It's been real. I'll just show my way out.
Wait! Not so fast. There's got to be more to this than just price faltering.
You're right. Two words. Foot Weber.
You're talking about Shea's foot injury he sustained in
game one! First game of the season, baby! Price and Shea, our two prized over 30-year-old giant contract players, were never themselves from game one. I didn't have a chance, Jeffy. No team in the NHL can survive injuries. I mean, give me an example of one team succeeding when a star player gets injured.
Well, the Leafs did okay without Matthews, and Malkin always stepped it up without Crosby.
Whoa. Easy there, Jeff. We don't have time for ancient history here. You've got condos to build.
I can't blame you there. Carey and Shea were never themselves.
You're seeing the light, Jeffy.
Okay, but what about our hometown savior? You know, that left winger who hasn't played center since junior, and little at that. You know, sixth forward on Tampa Bay, attitude problem, weak defensively, unproven on faceoffs, that we tried to sell as a number one center, that you sold me that he could play center.
Are you listening to yourself, Jeff? Everything you said is correct, but he's learning. Give him time and he'll be that guy I told you he would be. I mean, Jeff, if a tree falls in the forest, does anyone hear?
What does that even mean?
I'm trying to say he's like a fruit blossoming in the spring to be that giant forest. Jeff, we've got our Francophone star, who isn't yet a star. Give him time,
and
he'll be your universe.
Okay, that's not bad. I like that.
You're seeing it, Jeff. Imagine it. Healthy Price, healthy Weber, better Drouin. We're not where we are, but face it. Falling backwards into a lottery pick ain't half bad.
Oh, yeah. All our hopes on a lottery. Sweet.
Also, all that, playoff revenue that you're not gonna get?
Yes, that makes me angry.
You're not actually gonna be losing any of that money, Jeffy, because of all the cap money I saved. Think about it. Plus, all that extra dough we can use to sign John Tavares to be our number one center. And if that doesn't work out, Paul Stastny or Tyler Bozak.
Mark, I'm sorry I ever doubted you. Let's go fire some assistant coaches. know, it's hard to think that the last remaining vestiges of 2013's Game 7 collapse against the Boston Bruins, where the Toronto Maple Leafs somehow inexplicably blew a 4-1 lead with less than 10 minutes left in the clinching game. I'm thinking back, of course, to James Van Riemsdyk, Leo Komarov, Tyler Bozak, Nazem Kadri, and Jay Gardner, and I'm thinking to myself, man, oh man, what a great opportunity this would be for redemption. To which James Reimer responded, why didn't anyone come over and console me when I was face down, crumpled in a heap at the end of that disastrous collapse?
The Sedins, Daniel and Henrik, are retiring at the end of the season. A major loss for the NHL and, of course, for the Vancouver Canucks, two great ambassadors for the game. They won major awards, they won scoring titles, had long playoff runs, and if you ask anyone who knows them, they did even more for their community. They made major donations to their local hospital the way a hockey player is supposed to. They donated with humility, without fanfare, without any media attention at all, without anyone knowing they were doing something good for the community. They did it without anyone even knowing how much they were donating to the hospitals, which was a lot. And they did it without anyone seeing the joy they were bringing to children's lives. So this is how you donate to a hospital, so you don't piss off your teammates or your management.
Fans of the Toronto Maple Leafs all over the world are rejoicing on what's been a hugely successful season in which the franchise set a record with 105 points during the regular season. Yes, that's right. It took 101 years for this hockey club to set a record that they can all be exceptionally proud of. And of course, Leafs fans are not hesitant to let other people know just how proud they are. Of course, it's made fans of the Golden Knights wonder, what's the big deal? We've been in existence for a year and we've got 109 points.
After a horrendous season, there seems to be a sense of optimism for change for the Montreal Canadiens. A potential top draft pick, free agency on the horizon, Jeff Molson saying there's going to be change. But having Marc Bergevin in charge of all these changes is like putting Harvey Weinstein in charge of the Me Too movement. It's like Donald Trump being put in charge of the NAACP. It's like putting Justin Trudeau in charge of the How to Be a Better Public Speaker movement. It'd be like asking David Hasselhoff to star in the next great Steven Spielberg movie. It'd be like asking hardcore rapper Ice Cube to star in a family-friendly children's movie. I'm done.
The Toronto Maple Leafs and Boston Bruins are getting together for the kind of opening playoff first round that you simply will have to write home about. There are just way too many exciting side narratives to look at. Consider this. You've got Nazem Kadri taking on Patrice Bergeron. You've got Austin Matthews taking on Zdeno Chara. You've got the crafty David Krejci taking on JBR. And of course, the main event, Brad Marchand versus Leo Komarov in a battle royale for the ages of Weasel versus Weasel. Weasel versus Weasel. I'm talking about one man who's managed to survive all the scrutiny in the world from the NHL front office, and another one that knows multiple languages and is soon to be the next Prime Minister of Canada.
Scoring is up in the NHL. The NHL is on pace for the most goals per game since the 04-05 lockout. The NHL might actually have four 100-point scores. Speed is up in the NHL. Speed is really up in the NHL. The game has never looked faster, has never been played at a faster pace. And in other news, the Montreal Canadiens still have Carl Alzner for four more years.
You know, all those detractors of Patrick Marleau when he first came to town, who were bitterly complaining that he was taking money that could have been used to sign pending free agent James Van Riemsdyk, and that he was way too long in the tooth and really in the twilight of his career, having no experience winning anything during the playoff runs with San Jose, are strangely silent right now. I don't know whether it's just the case of having a really successful year and restoring faith in the confidence of the fan base, or maybe it's the fact that he's bought multiple Xboxes for virtually all the young players under the age of 22. That's right, rumor has it he's got a little game room set up where all the various different Maple Leafs players like Willie Nylander and Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews can get together and choose between a game of PUBG or Fortnite. My money's on the former.
Brendan Gallagher has 31 goals on the season. That's it. There's no joke to that. I just wanted to add in some positive karma because there's been a lot of negativity this season. It's been easy to perhaps pile on to the Montreal Canadiens, but I wanted to point out some of the good. Also, shout out to Paul Byron for having another 20-goal season. Alex Galchenyuk for having a tough start, starting on the fourth line, being in the coach's doghouse, to actually playing much, much better, and hopefully getting 20 goals. Young players coming along, such as Victor Mete and Noel Juulsen. You know, there is change on the horizon. You've got a high draft pick coming up this summer. Free agency. Who knows what's going to happen with free agency? There will be changes, and hopefully for the better. And you never know. Maybe Sylvain Lefebvre will finally get fired. John Tavares. Not a new name being associated with the Montreal Canadiens for this offseason's free agency class, but some other names are being brought into the discussion as potentially solving the Montreal Canadiens' long-lasting center ice problems. Those names, Paul Stastny and Tyler Bozak. This boggles my mind. I can't believe that some people out there actually believe that a 32-year-old Paul Stastny, 3 months into the season, in December he's going to be 33 years old, is the solution to Montreal's center ice problems. Paul Stastny, let's say he signs for something between the Alex Radulov deal that Dallas gave him, probably 4 or 5 years at, in between, say, $5 million. Do you really want to be paying Paul Stastny for 4 or 5 years at $5 million each as, let's be honest here, as your number three center? Paul Stastny is not a true number two center, and he is not a true number one center by any means. And don't the Montreal Canadiens already have a number three center in Philip Deneau and a number four center in Jacob Delarose? I mean, we're going to see what happens in the offseason, but Paul Stastny shouldn't be signed by the Montreal Canadiens to be a number two center. He's just not good enough anymore to be a number two center. Tyler Bozak. I can't believe I'm talking about Tyler Bozak. I've bugged Leaf fans for years when Brian Burke brought him in, heralding him as a number one center. And now the Montreal Canadiens potentially are on his radar to fix their center ice problems. Again, Bozak is on the wrong side of 30. Bozak hasn't scored 20 goals more than once. He scored it once, 4 years ago? He hasn't scored 20 goals since. The same thing with Paul Stastny. I'm jumping around here. Paul Stastny hasn't scored 20 goals in a season since 2014. The end of next season is going to be 5 years since he's done that. He's not going to do it this year. There's very little chance he's going to do it past his 30s. To pay guys like that, the money required to sign them as free agents in Montreal would be a huge, huge mistake. Let's get something straight here. They are. Here's the sad part. They're better than any center that the Montreal Canadiens currently have. So yes, they would be an upgrade on the center position. And that's incredibly sad to say. But do you want to just get a little bit better so that they can be slotted into positions that they're not suited for anymore? So that they can make the Montreal Canadiens a little bit better? And say, make the Montreal Canadiens maybe make the playoffs? And have the Canadiens just maybe finish out of the playoffs without a very good draft lottery position? Yeah, I'm already saying it. I'm already in for the tank of 2019. Bozak and Stastny are going to be harmful to your plans in getting better, because they're not going to make you that much better. And by them not being that much better, they're actually going to make you they're going to cause harm in the draft lottery position. I want to tank again for 2019. That's how you get a true number one center. That's how you get young talent. This patchwork solution of getting older players past their prime as free agents, we all know that's not a solution to winning championships. So what Marc Bergevin does is going to be very interesting this offseason. If he does something like that, oh boy, I don't know what to say. All I want to say is that I'm saying no to Paul Stastny and Tyler Bozak.
You know, I think it's both a sad and delicious irony that the Toronto Maple Leafs are preparing to battle in this year's Stanley Cup playoffs while the Montreal Canadiens are licking their wounds and looking forward what will hopefully be an eventful offseason to get them back on track. I'm fairly optimistic, and I won't take up any of Habs fans' luster and lightning from his previous rant, but I have to say that these Maple Leafs will only get better over time, and depending on how you look at these playoffs, you can kind of judge for yourself whether or not they're making progress. I think that even if they falter against the Boston Bruins, by all stretch of the imagination, these Toronto Maple Leafs have come a long way to demonstrate that they are going to be a preeminent draw in the National Hockey League for many, many years to come. And of course, I say that regardless of what happens during the offseason, because even if JVR doesn't sign and come back, or they lose Tyler Bozak and he becomes a Montreal Canadien, for example, regardless of whether that happens or not, the Maple Leafs have the kind of young talent that will get them over the hump with many challenges on the horizon. And I, of course, point to not only their crop of young players, but the next generation of young players, be it the Kasperi Kapanens or the Connor Browns or the Travis Dermotts, who have a chance to really acquit themselves in these playoffs in ways that, quite frankly, compels the imagination. And of course, that's what the Stanley Cup playoffs really are all about, separating the boys from the men, the pretenders from the contenders of competitive play consistently. And in this regard, the Maple Leafs are going into the playoffs with a small group of players who not only remember the ignominious defeat that they faced 5 years ago, but find themselves realizing that this might be a real rare opportunity for them to make some noise against the best of the Atlantic Division. And of course, that will mean going through both Boston and Tampa Bay, and probably one of either Pittsburgh or Washington, before meeting the beasts of the West. And in the final analysis, Leafs fans should be awfully proud of the fact that there will be a cadre of young players to pay attention to, along with the savvy veterans and those players with their last hurrah like the Patrick Marleaus of the world, and maybe even to a lesser extent, those on the defensive side like Ron Hainsey, who have a chance to step up and show why they became previous Stanley Cup champions in the first place. Needless to say, there won't be a dull moment in this year's ballad of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Bring it on, and go Leafs go!